This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Education to Order. I'm Senator Deb Soholt, and we just really appreciate seeing everyone here today after a long weekend away from session. We're just all fired up and ready to go. Is that correct, Senators? You're looking alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. So we appreciate everyone that's listening in on the internet and participating in public policy. We are a citizen legislature, and we serve at the behest of the people. And so we are very excited when people weigh in, give us their opinion, tell us what they're thinking, and help us to do better at our jobs. This would be a great time to take a look at your cell phone and make sure that it's on mute. Mine was just playing Saturday Night Fever for some reason, and I couldn't figure out how to shut that off, so I didn't think we needed that the whole committee meeting. All right, we'll ask the secretary to call the roll and see if we have a quorum.
Senators Curd, Frerichs, Greenfield, Hunhoff, Rampelberg, Solano, Soholt.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. All right, let's proceed with our business. We have minutes that are in front of you from the 11th of February. I'd entertain a motion to approve. Moved by Senator Curd and seconded by Senator Rampelberg. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. All right, the minutes are approved from February 11th. Thank you. Just a reminder, if you want to testify on bills today, either for or against, we would just ask you to sign in at the podium in the back. And our pages are working, but I'm going to ask you to come on up, introduce yourself, and tell us where you're from. And we've been asking you a lot, like, what are you thinking about for your future? And if you're ready to talk about that, go ahead. And if you're not, you don't have to.
My name is Emily Schmitz. I'm from Vermilion, and I'm going to SCSU for nursing.
Oh, you know, and that just does my heart good as a registered nurse, so an SDSU nurse to boot. So thank you, Emily. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Grace Jensen, and I'm planning to attend Black Hills State University to major in business.
Great. Thanks, Grace. We appreciate Emily and Grace being here and helping us. We couldn't do the work that we do without our pages that come every 2 weeks, and we just really appreciate their talents, and hopefully they'll think about doing the work that we do later in their lives, because we need great people to be involved in public policy development. Okay, we are going to begin with, on our agenda, you can see that we've had prior hearing on Senate Bill 129. We're going to pick that back up, and we are going to finish that today. And I want to say a special thank you to Senator Jenna Hager for her incredible indulgence and patience, as this is the third meeting that we have brought up this bill, which is an act to establish suicide awareness and prevention training requirements for certain school employees based on the Jason Flatt Act. And just to kind of recenter us on this bill, we've heard most of our proponent testimony. We will ask again if there's additional proponent testimony on this bill. And we actually heard at our last meeting from Jason Flatt's father, who did a phone testimony regarding this bill. And then there was some conversation about, we didn't have any opponent testimony, as I recall. But I'm going to ask one more time, just because we are where we've been. But to start with, at our last time together, we had talked about a possible negotiation with the Department of Education so that the timing, there was proponent support from the Department of Education, but some concern about being able to clearly do all of the things that needed judiciously to be done in order for the full intent of this act to be carried out in an organized manner. So I would open it up for Senator Jenna Hager to talk to us about that conversation and then perhaps introduce an amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Jenna Hager, State Senator from District 10 in Sioux Falls. You are correct. With the department, we just did a quick little huddle after Thursday's meeting out in the hall, and we just wanted to be clear of the implementation date of allowing the appropriate amount of time to review some of the guidelines and have them developed by the Board of Education. And we did go ahead and settle on July 1st of next year.
All right.
That's the amendment. That's 129. SA, and then just a reminder of what this bill is about. We're just trying to protect our youth. We want to make sure that everybody involved in their education and in the school kind of know what they're dealing with. And we heard some compelling testimony from Jeff Canfield last week, as well as Clark Flatt. And with that, I'll stand by.
Thank you. Why don't you just hold for a moment, Senator? If it's appropriate, I'd like to deal with the Amendment 129-SA.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Solano.
I would move Amendment 129-SA.
Second.
It has been moved by Senator Solano and seconded by Senator Greenfield that we would move 129SA in the affirmative. Is there any discussion on that? All right. All in favor of Amendment 129SA, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. All right. We are now with an amended version of 129. Thank you, Senator. All right. A little out of sequence because I think we went through this, but we're going to ask, is there any further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 129 as amended? Is there any opponent testimony?
Proponent.
A proponent, please. Thank you. Have you signed in?
I did.
Wonderful. Come on up.
Prepared my statement.
Okay, great. Good morning and welcome to Senate Education.
Thank you.
We're glad that you're here. Go ahead and introduce yourself and we look forward to your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Teresa Caro from Brookings, South Dakota. My son died on May 1st from suicide. This Jason Flatt legislation is a step forward in the discussion of depression and suicide in South Dakota, where suicide is the leading cause of death for 15 to 24-year-olds. It's estimated that 1 in 5 high school students are seriously contemplating suicide right now. To make real change, we also need to be educating our youth. 80% of those contemplating suicide or attempting suicide tell someone what they're planning. They're not telling parents or teachers or administration, they're telling their friends. My son's friends thought that they were being good friends by keeping his secret. And we need to educate children that you cannot talk your friend out of depression any more than you can talk them out of diabetes. That they need to tell someone. These children that my son told are now dealing with that guilt for the rest of their lives, simply because they were not educated. Fundamentally, we need to change how our society views depression and other mental illnesses. Since my son's death, in our society where we feel for a mother who's lost a child, I've been told that my son is now in hell. I've been told that he was weak and he was selfish. My son, who cared so much for others that he always reached out for those that he saw were hurting, and a member of our South Dakota National Guard, was not weak and he was not selfish. But these are the perceptions our society attaches to suicide victims. If these are possible reactions, would you reach out for help? This legislation will help educate teachers what depression is and the signs. My son shocked every adult in his life because he simply did not display the typical warning signs, but he did tell friends. If that was your child reaching out for help, would you want his or her friends to know to tell an adult? I know that I wish my son's friends had had those discussions. For my son and for the unimaginable guilt that they now must carry. Ian's family feels so strongly about educating as many people as possible that we created a nonprofit called Be a Lifesaver with the intention of educating teens and young adults that they simply must tell this secret. It's a matter of life and death. When teachers are educated on depression, it will make going to a teacher that much more effective and not have those reactions. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being brave enough to come before the committee and to share what must be unimaginable grief.
It is.
And through your story and your nonprofit to help others in this way, it's going to take a lot of effort from a multifaceted nature to really start to open up this topic in our society.
It is.
Thank you for your courage to be here.
Thank you. Any questions for me or anything?
We're okay. Thank you. There may be. Further proponent testimony. Is there any opponent testimony to amended Senate Bill 129? All right. So we'll open it up for further questions from the senators. We had an opportunity for some when we were talking about implementation timeline. I would now open it up to full questions from the senators. Seeing none, I would move it to committee discussion and or action.
Madam Chair.
Senator Solano.
I would move do pass of Senate Bill 129 as amended.
We have a motion on do pass 129 as amended from Senator Solano with a second from Senator Kerr. Discussion on your motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, first, I want to thank all of the proponents that have come and give testimony. And also, in particular, those that have shared personal stories. The reality of suicide is that I highly doubt that there's anybody in the audience that would not be able to say that they have been impacted by suicide in some fashion. Some maybe a little more directly and closely than others. And it's an issue in our society, and in particular in South Dakota, as you heard in testimony, that what the impetus of a youth that decides that they would end their life through suicide comes in many different facets and areas, and we heard about that in terms of bullying and mental illness and the different things, the different pressures that are on youth today in our society. And I think that Senate Bill 129 and the training for teachers is just one more thing that we really need to do. And this needs to be an all hands on deck. We've got a number of good things, I think, that are starting to happen in the state as it relates to mental illness and it relates to suicide awareness and prevention. I think this is one step. We've got mental health first aid that's going on, assist trainings, those kinds of things. And I do hope that we can get to a point where we can have very open conversations as individuals, as a state, as a society about mental illness and about suicide so that we can get people to identify and reach out for help because the help is there and it is effective and we can be saving lives. So again, thank you to the bill sponsor for bringing this and I would ask for your concurrence.
Further discussion on the motion of do pass.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Greenfield.
Thank you. I just wanted to thank everybody, frankly, who's been involved in this bill. And I wanted to thank Senator Hager for working through the issues with the department. I appreciate that. I asked a few questions last week, and I think we're in a position now where we can go ahead and pass this bill out. Thank you.
And I just want to thank everyone for being here and commitment to such a sensitive topic. This will be something, Senator Solano really covered it, but it will be something that all of us as a society need to embrace and work on. While this particular bill talks specifically about the education system, all of us need to be aware of children that are hurting and then to have the courage to act on that. So if this can help to open up even that broader conversation, it's really an important thing. All right, we have a do pass motion on the table for amended 129. Secretary will call the roll. All in favor say aye. Opposed, nay.
Senators Curd?
Aye.
Frerichs?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Solano?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
It's unanimous.
Senate Bill 129 is amended. We'll move to the Senate floor with a do pass recommendation. Thank you, Senator. All right, we're now going to move on to House Bill 1013, which is an act to revise certain provisions regarding alternative instruction achievement tests for children that are excused from school attendance. We'll begin with proponent testimony on House Bill 1013. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Bobby Rank with the South Dakota Department of Education to testify in favor of House Bill 1013. And this is a bill that the department brought this year, or that the Committee on Education brought at the behest of the department. And this is a short and hopefully simple bill. It passed through the House unanimously. There was no opponent testimony. And for that reason, I also expect my testimony to be short. Just a little background on what is required in regard to homeschool testing. So homeschool or alternative instruction are students that are excused from attending public school and are, in fact, receive alternative instruction or are homeschooled. And what is part of what is required is those students are required to take a nationally standardized test in grades 2, 4, 8, and 11. And there is another statute that's not part of this bill where those tests are required to be filed with the resident school district. What this, and that test can be one of two things. It can either be a test that is provided at the expense of the parent or a state-provided test, which is currently called the SAT-10. And what this bill does is the only substantive change in this bill is on page 2, line 4. We're removing the requirement for testing grade 2. So it's just a one-word strike. The change on page 1, line 9, is simply a form and style change that LRC caught when they reviewed the bill. And so the reason that we're bringing this bill, there's a couple. One, we have received some complaints from homeschool parents saying, why are we required to test in grade 2 when that is not a test that public school students are required to take? They're not required to be tested in grade 2 on the state assessment. And the SAT-10, which is the state-provided test, is changing. That will no longer be available, and we are exploring another option to start in the spring of 2017. And as part of that, we decided we're not going to require grade 2 to be tested. So though that combination, the time was right to make this change. And so that is the sum of my testimony, and I'd ask you to vote in favor of this bill, and I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1013. Good morning.
Morning, Madam Chair. Norman Woods, Family Heritage Alliance Action. We just want to give a quick thank you to the Department of Education for bringing the bill, and a quick me too, and ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony. Is there any further proponent testimony in House Bill 1013? Any opponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll open it up to questions of the committee. Seeing none, we'll close it to questions and open it up for committee discussion and or action.
Madam Chair.
Senator Solano.
I would move to pass House Bill 1013.
It has been moved by Senator Solano and seconded by Senator Curd, a due pass on House Bill 1013. Any discussion on your motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Pretty straightforward bill. I think, bringing the homeschool folks in line with what's being done in the rest of the education system makes sense. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of due pass on House Bill 1013 will vote aye. All those opposed, nay. Mona, go ahead.
Senators Curd?
Aye.
Frericks?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Hunhoff? Excused. Rampelberg?
Aye.
Solano?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
It's unanimous.
All right. House Bill 1013 is a due pass motion.
Madam Chair.
It has been moved by Senator Curd and seconded by Senator Greenfield to move to consent. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. All right. House Bill 1013 will move to the Senate floor on the consent agenda. Thank you. Great work, Senators. All right, we're moving on to House Bill 1014, which is an act to authorize the sale of certain surplus real estate and to provide for the deposit of the proceeds. Proponent testimony. Good morning and welcome, Madam Secretary.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee, Melody Schnapp, Department of Education. I'm not going to give you the testimony on this bill today, but I want to explain why this bill is before you. In the past year, we have inherited the Office of History into the Department of Education. Many years ago, we were the Department of Education Cultural Affairs. It was then removed from the Department of Education and put over with tourism, and now we're back together. As a result of that, you're going to get a little history lesson today about this land sale, which I found very interesting as I went through that. The director of that office is not here today, but Mr. Bruner is going to talk to you about this this request that he's making, and he's going to explain this land sale. And so I just wanted to explain to you why you're hearing a land sale bill in Senate Education today. So with that, I would turn it over to him. Thank you,
Madam Secretary. Good morning, and welcome to Senate Education.
Yes. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Ryan Bruner, Commissioner of School and Public Lands. It's a pleasure to be here today. I'm just going to plug this in quick. Well, that's loading. Here, I'll start with a little bit of background. As Secretary Schopp said, we've been assisting the Historical Society with the sale or potential uses of this property located in Soley County that was donated to them. One of our jobs as school and public lands is also to act as a real estate agent for other state agencies. And so we do that on an annual basis. We've got other lands. We've got five land sale bills up this session. Two have been in appropriations, two have been in state affairs, and this one's in education. And so it's great to have a chance to visit with you about this and talk about the property and the history, as well as the opportunities moving forward. This particular piece of property was donated to the Historical Society by Agnes Whitlock in 1928. And so a long time ago, she donated the property to the state of South Dakota for the benefit of the State Historical Society, but they never filed the deed. If you ask how that happened off and on throughout history. We run into cases where folks have to take quiet title action against the state, or in some cases, the states had to take quiet title action because people didn't file deeds. If you think back to your old Western movies where you could lose a deed in the poker game, very similar. The reason you could lose that is because you had it in your pocket or in your house, not filed at the register of deeds where it should have been. And so the deed was not filed, and over time, knowledge of this property was lost. And so the fact that the property was donated to the state was forgotten about. 1928 was a long time ago, even to the point that in 1955, when they were building Lake Oahe, there was a takings declaration from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers signed off by Judge George T. Mickelson at that time, taking land for the building of Lake Oahe and designating $1,000 to the unknown heirs of Agnes Whitlock. Which created a title question for us to explore, because in 1955 the judge was issuing that takings declaration to a different party. The Historical Society did go get title insurance, and one of the things we discovered when looking at it is the deed was eventually filed, but not until 1974, there is still no knowledge of the property moving forward. And so somebody filed the deed, but there's nothing in our records or in the Historical Society really in their records that say where this property came from, other than the deed and how it came into state ownership. In 2012, then, as what's always an eventuality, the county contacted the Historical Society asking about property taxes. They had not received property taxes on this piece of property for a long period of time, and they contacted them, and that issue was quickly resolved because it is state property, and so they did not have to pay property taxes on it. But that's how knowledge of this property came back to the Historical Society, and then some of the process I just explained. They visited with us, they went and got title insurance, and they've been visiting about it as to how to proceed with this piece of property. See if I can get this up and working now. This legislation does authorize the sale of the property. It does not require it. The Historical Society Board will have to meet again and make that final determination that they want to move forward with selling the property. They met in December and at that time asked to authorize a resolution authorizing us to proceed with the legislation. Well, maybe I'll just pull this up in Google Earth. It's not seeming to. I have some pictures I can show you if we get this up and going. But 97.5 acres, as I said, it authorizes the sale of that property. Because the land was donated to the Historical Society, all lands that are donated to the state by Article 8, Section 7 of the State Constitution requires all lands that are donated for an education or a charitable institution or purpose to remain trust lands or in a perpetual trust. And so as a result of that, this land is trust land. And so the proceeds from the sale will go into a trust fund managed by the South Dakota Investment Council for the benefit of the South Dakota Historical Society. And so whatever we get from the sale would go into that trust fund. It would be managed with the other state trust funds, the State Retirement System Fund. And then at that time, they would receive interest and dividends on an annual basis back to the society that they would be able to spend however they felt fit within their program of operations. So here's a picture where the property is located. I said it's in Soley County. And it The computer evidently also enjoyed the four-day weekend away from legislative session.
It's fine. We have time today, so no worries. Senators, we're just going to be at ease for a couple minutes while he opens up this file.
Oh. Well, it's just not, the computer's not responding at all, really, so it's... Well, I do have two printed pictures I guess we can pass around. I didn't bring,
Why don't we just do that?
Okay.
Oh, is it opening? We'll just take a look at the pictures, Commissioner, and you can tell us.
Okay. What you'll see when you look at the pictures is the property does have a couple of challenges associated with it. Namely, access is difficult. There is section line access to this property. It goes down 2 miles of what is a dirt field road. So there is a road there, but there's no gravel on it. It's just a dirt field road. Then you have to proceed over a mile on a section line across a pasture where there's a section line trail there. And then there is another third of a mile of native rangeland over a ridge that you have to go down to get to the corner of the property, where you can access it. And so it does have some unique challenges to it that we'll have to work through. It's a beautiful piece of property overlooking the Missouri River and Lake Oahe, because it is right, as I mentioned, with the takings declaration, they took the land right up to it as part of taking that piece of property. And so it's got a beautiful view. There's a 15-acre plateau. There we go. So here's the 2 miles of dirt field road coming up the side. Then you have to go down 1.25 miles of section line trail. There's a road here, but that is across private property. A future purchaser could try and get an easement from the adjoining property owner, if possible. But for right now, the legal access would be down to this point, and then there would be an opportunity to build a road back in up here to the about a 15-acre plateau that overlooks Lake Oahe in Solway County. And so you can see the lake is right there, the plateau overlooking it. I also have a picture of. If there's any questions about that, hopefully this will load quicker on the second time now that it's... There we go. It just had to get warmed up this morning. Oh, and there's the picture of what it looks like from the plateau overlooking Lake Oahe. And so it's a really neat piece of property. It's got a fascinating history going back to 1928. It's been in state ownership for a long time. And if the Historical Society decides to proceed with moving forward with the sale, we will sell it at public auction and then have a chance to deposit those proceeds with the investment council, where they'll get the interest and dividends off of it as a benefit to their organization. So with that, I would stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Commissioner. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1014. Is there any opponent testimony on House Bill 1014? Seeing none, we'll open it up to questions from the senators. Yes, Senator Rampelberg. I bet they're going to be for you, Commissioner, so you might as well just come on up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was curious. When you look at the potential use of this and then the proximity to the lake, how are you going to... It's a two-part question. I was really interested in this because I was sitting here thinking, why in the world is the Department of Education? So I went back to look at the codified law and this... So I was really curious to say, well, who is the appraising committee? Turns out it's you and and somebody else.
The auditor,
yeah. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So I'm just kind of curious now. So I assume the two of you are going to determine the asking price of this property. Is that if it's approved.
Well, Madam Chair,
please.
There's sort of a two-step process. There are also some administrative rules that deal with some of our stuff with land sales. For properties less than 100,000, then over 100,000, there's some different varying rules. We have not in modern history ever actually had the auditor and these commissioners of school and public lands do a formal appraisal. We hire a certified appraiser. They give us a certified appraisal. We review that with all land sale bills and make sure that we agree with the appraisal and then adopt their recommendation, or we do have the authority under statute to change their recommendation, but we've at least felt in the last couple of years in the meetings I've been in, and of course Mike Corneliuson's our surface agent's been with us since 1979, you'd have to have good justification to change a certified appraisal because that opens us up for potential lawsuits or liability related issues. And if there's any loss to the trust, if something we did wasn't right and it devalued the trust, then we'd have a financial liability to the trust fund for whatever that entity is. And I'm not prepared to pay any sort of liability myself, and I don't think the legislature would want to make up any of those funds. So that's yes, we do review the appraisal. We are the entity, but we hire a certified appraiser to give us our value.
Go ahead, follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, talk about a convoluted way of doing things. Oh, my goodness. Well, the most important question that really we have to answer, do geese ever fly over this property?
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
There were no geese, although when I was there, it was in August and it was hot and we'd walked a ways, and so I was not really looking to hunt. I was mostly watching for rattlesnakes. They are on this property. Coincidentally, it is being grazed right now by a neighboring property owner who has a lease. The land along the river is leased out by Game Fish and Parks in this case because access is so difficult. And so they've been grazing it as part of their lease with the Game Fish and Parks, although they haven't been paying Game Fish and Parks. That was a question that came up at our last committee meeting that we went and researched with them. But thought it was part of their lease because it borders the land along the river. It is not, and they have also not been paying Game Fish and Parks. And so short term, this next year, while we wait for the historical society to make a designation, we'll probably lease it to that neighboring entity while we investigate possible options. There's a real estate agent on their board and some other folks who have been looking at this property as well to what the possible higher end hunting or fishing or it's just a couple miles from Sutton Bay. And so it obviously, there's an idea that it could have some higher end commercial potential because of its location and the view and the water. There's things like utilities, the road access that I already shared with you, some more stuff that we're going to work together to kind of make a determination for what we think we can do with the property. At the December meeting, really, they just said, well, we know we need legislative authorization to sell it. We don't want to wait till July 1st of 2017 to have to make that decision. And so they authorized proceeding with, legislation at that time, and we'll proceed to work with them as they make a decision as to how they'd like to use the property.
Thank you, Commissioner. Senator Frerichs.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, on line 12 of page 2, it talks about that the sale may be made without first offering the property for sale to the public. Could you explain, why that language is in there and what that means? Obviously, as you have shared, it isn't like there is somebody that has a long-standing tradition of having been occupying this land and been helping out. I mean, this seems very different compared to if somebody had 160 acres or 155 acres of crop ground and they farmed it just like it's been theirs for 30 years. So I guess if you can share, please.
Go ahead.
Madam Chair, I anticipate we're going to sell it at public auction. That language is in or some version of that is in all of our land sale bills. For instance, land we sold to the city of Yankton down in Senator Hunhoff's district, that's that same language that was in those bills from 2011, and there's similar language in those bills this year. Game Fish and Parks has looked at it, but because they've got a game production area at Sutton Bay up there, and then they've got a public access point 2 miles to the south of here, they're not interested in purchasing the property. But it's language that's in kind of a template for all of our land sale bills, and so that's why it's there. I don't anticipate us doing that, but it is an option.
Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Commissioner, for the explanation that it's been in other bills, but could you share a little bit? I mean, does that mean that it can be sold within state government, perhaps, but as far as if it's going to be offered for sale, I mean, because it's not like anybody has a first right to refusal on this or anything else. I mean, I have a little bit of concern about that.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Commissioner.
Yes, it's on line 11. It's to sell any property to a political subdivision within which the property is located. And so it could be transferred within state government, or if the county wanted to buy it for some reason, they would have that as a potential option. But that would be at the request, if you look online too, at the request of the State Historical Society. So the society would have to determine that there's some sort of arrangement there that makes sense for them financially to proceed. Because it's got commercial potential, I don't see that as being an option, but it would only be to another government entity. We can't sell to a private party without going through public auction.
Any other questions? Thank you, Commissioner. Seeing none, we will move it to committee discussion and or action.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Frericks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move due pass on House Bill 1014.
Second.
There is a motion by Senator Frericks on due pass House Bill 1014 with a second by Senator Rampelberg. Discussion on your motion?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I would just say that it obviously makes sense, and it's really neat to have something in this instance where it's been so long ago that it was gifted to an area, and to see that it's followed through. It isn't like this, that these dollars are just being absorbed into our state's general fund, or that they are just being taken and forgetting about the wishes of this individual. So I think that's what's really neat, and it obviously shows the integrity of our state investment system, let alone the retirement side of things, but certainly just the investments as a whole. So I encourage support. The commissioner opens himself up to a little bit of questions when we talk about whether or not Game Fish and Parks may look to buy this land, because we know that is very controversial, but we all know that in the end, this is a piece of property that most likely will have more rewards for future historical society projects in the state if it is sold for the highest dollar, in respect to the wishes of the lady that gifted it to many years ago. Thank you.
Further discussion on the due pass motion or House Bill 1014. Seeing none, all in favor will vote aye. Opposed, nay. Mona, you're up.
Senators Curd?
Aye.
Frericks?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Solano?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Unanimous vote.
House Bill 1014 is unanimous due pass.
Move consent.
It has been moved by consent by Senator Solano and seconded by Senator Greenfield. Discussion on that at all? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1014 will move to the Senate floor on the consent agenda. All right. Is there any further business before Senate Education? Before we adjourn, about Thursday, because we are starting to wrap up our Senate bills. So I'm starting to look at timing and making sure that we have, you know, full agendas, that, you know, we have a full meeting and can move forward. The bill that we have left to take up on the Senate side is Senate Bill 69. And because the prime sponsor is Senator Deb Peters, I need to check with her on timing with appropriations. She wanted that as first thing on Thursday morning, which may require us to get together at 7:45. But I'm going to see if I can't give us a little bit of extra time on Thursday, because our agenda will have other things to take up. I'm trying to fill a full agenda, but probably not needing to start before 8. But watch timing as I announce it on the floor of the Senate and as we post the agenda. Okay? I'll try to give you a little bit more grace in the morning if I can. Seeing no further business, would somebody move to adjourn? Senator Greenfield, second by Senator Frericks. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. We are adjourned. Thank you.